Welcome to the USEA's official podcast. My guest today is Megan O'Donoghue, who completed Rolex last week with her horse Pirate and finished 12th. And she joins me now. Megan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Chris. Thank you. Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Well, congratulations on finishing 12th at Rolex. That is some achievement, isn't it?
It is. It was a magical week. I couldn't have asked for it to all work out that well.
So you've come back down to earth, have you? Are you still? Is it all still sinking in, what you've just done?
It still is, I think. It was very overwhelming. But I think it's still kind of still looking at all the pictures and kind of reliving it every day, actually. I think it'll be a while, especially for my first time and for it to end so well. So, yeah, I think I'll move on to the next thing here eventually, but still kind of living it up while I can.
Enjoying the moment, absolutely. Well, we want to talk about your Rolex debut, but let's just backpedal a little bit and introduce you a little bit more to our audience and explain how you got started in the sport of eventing and also then how you met Pirate, because you've had him a little while, haven't you?
Yes, I've had him since he was a three-year-old, his fall of his three-year-old year, and he's 11 this year. So, mom and I was born into it. Mom and dad both competed through the two-star level and they decided to make it a living at a younger age when they got married, and they bought this barn down here in Southern Illinois. And this is our business. I'm a one of five. I have three older brothers and a younger sister. Just my younger sister took on the riding like I did. But I did my first horse trials when I was eight, did Pony Club, and had an old quarter horse was my first horse, and then I got the Rotten Ponies after that. And so I haven't really looked back since. I think my mom said the longest hiatus I took from riding was 6 months when I got bucked off numerous times. And then I saw one of our older girls compete my pony, and I decided that I had enough not riding, so I was going to do that and took her over again. So that's kind of how I got started. I've been lucky enough to be in the barn with always having kind of older sisters to look up to that have kind of filtered through the barn. And you know, that's always been kind of an inspiration. And then obviously as I got older, I kind of moved on to looking up to, you know, the other top event riders and, you know, wanting to be like them one day. So that's kind of how it all started. It's definitely in the blood. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. So
the inspiration was there from the start, and you decided to make a profession out of it, though.
Yeah, definitely. I did some classes at a community college, and nothing really ever caught my interest. I was always planning my horse days and, you know, looking online at off the track thoroughbreds for sale that I could afford, because that's about all I can afford. Nothing has really caught my attention. I enjoy the being outside and the diversity of every single horse that you get to sit on, and honestly the rewards that you get when you bring something along like that, and then ultimately, you know, having a partnership like I have with Pirate, and it blooming on a weekend like it did for me at my first four-star. So I couldn't ask for, you know, I mean, that's a high that's kind of hard to beat, you know, in any office situation.
Well, everybody knows that there's nothing quite like bringing on a young horse and maturing with that horse as you grow up in yourself with your own experience, but also developing the confidence and bringing him up through the levels to get to the highest level in the sport, to four-star level. It must have been a wonderful journey for you. Tell us a little bit about the highlights of that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I think that, everybody says it takes, you know, so much time and energy and, you know, effort to make a four-star horse, you know, from the bottom. And, you know, I think I just kind of rolled with the roller coaster throughout these last years with that horse. You know, it's not always been smooth, and I've definitely had my lows, you know. of just little problems with him. He's never had a major injury, but it always kind of seemed to rise when I had a competition coming up of some sort. So, but then, you know, I sat down, I had a pro question and answer interview on Saturday, and it all kind of hit me like, wow, you know, it's all come together, and it happened, you know, on that endurance day of all the time and the cantering and the trotting and, you know, just all the effort of everyone that's been involved. You know, I mean, you have so many chances of it not happening, you know, and for it all to happen and then it work out the way it did was really cool. As far as standout moments, you know, I think I haven't really pinpointed certain things, but definitely, I mean, jumping around on the last day and, you know, kind of being it like I did it, and not only did I did it, but I placed in the top 12, and that was pretty unbelievable. So, but, you know, I think when you kind of see where it not working out, you realize how lucky you are for it to work out. Like, looking at Jenny, you know, not being able to compete, and we all know she deserves it more than a lot of people in this sport. She works so hard. And you kind of sit back and, you know, that kind of hits you in the face, you know, like, you should really feel lucky to be doing what you're doing. So, but I mean, the horse is, we're kind of best friends, you know, we've gone a lot of places and been together a lot of hours, training and even just hand grazing or, you know, hacking out or doing whatever we're doing. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think galloping around and my hometown cheering me on the whole way around was pretty unbelievable, and having them at the finish. Everybody asked me if I was from Lexington because I had so many fans, but it was awesome. The whole time was awesome. So
tell us a little bit about your Rolex preparation then. How was he going coming into Rolex? Because obviously, having had the hiccups in the past, you must have been just, you know, hoping and praying you were going to be able to make that drive into the horse park, obviously.
Absolutely.
Those last-minute nerves. How was the last-minute preparation for you?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to back up just a little bit from last minute. But I had my lead-up events. You know, this all kind of came into action when I joined Will Coleman Equestrian in January. I took on his assistant trainer rider in January, and, you know, he sat down and asked me what my plans were, and I said, I don't know, Will. I kind of just came out of working for Jan Benny, and I didn't know exactly what I was going to do, but I said, you know, I'm young, the horse is only 11, and I was like, I guess I'll do a 3-star and try to get a little more competitive at that level, and he kind of gave me this raised eyebrow look and was like, why not Kentucky, you know? And I said, well, I guess I've been waiting for someone to tell me that. And so that got immediately inserted to plan A. And after, you know, talking to David O'Connor at my under 25 sessions in Ocala, that got, you know, confirmed once again by him. And so then I had my lead up event, up to Kentucky. We made our plan, and, I guess, you know, kind of when the pressure starts, at that Southern Pines too is a big horse trials for us after doing the Pine Top, and he had a small tie up after the cross country, which is why I didn't show jump him. And I think I learned a bit about the horse then. It was a cold day. I don't think he had drank much. He had never had a history of tying up, and so we treated him well. And I did not show jump. I knew I could get away with not doing that. The horse is a good show jumper, and I didn't want to risk anything. So we took care of him, and I monitored him really closely in his next canters and made sure that he was completely over that. And obviously, I took some proactive approaches at Kentucky, fluids before he ran and whatnot. But I have a good vet, Susan Johns, who really helped me out with all of that. So I had that one little kind of stare, and then I went to the fork, and he traveled. I pulled him off of the trailer when we got there. I guess it would have been on Wednesday. And he had a big hawk, right hind hawk. And he was not very sound to trot up. So I did everything. I had a Friday dressage, and Susan showed up, and we, you know, x-rayed, radiographed it, and ultrasounded the hawk to make sure that I wasn't risking anything by continuing on with the competition, because after a lot of walking and icing, all the swelling went down, and he was totally sound. So I went on and did my dressage and was able to finish the weekend. But, you know, right there, another instance that nearly I almost, you know, my Kentucky kind of goal was nearly, you know, ended right there. So, but yeah, though, I mean, definitely those couple, those things, you know, were kind of scares. So it wasn't always just an easy, smooth road. But then he came out of the fork really well, and I was able to do my last couple canters up the hill at O'Connor's. And, you know, Will was really, I mean, he made everything work for me. You know, he was so good in making sure that, you know, I was sitting on a horse that was ready to do that kind of competition. And honestly, not making sure I didn't overwork my horse. I'm a pretty competitive girl, and sometimes when you only have one upper level horse, you want to practice, and you know, he was like, your horse knows what he's doing. You don't need to practice. It'll, you know, it's getting it to come together on the right day, you know, and you don't want to have Kentucky happen a week too soon because you're a little bit gung-ho. So, but yeah, I mean, it was definitely not, everything was not smooth. There were some tears shed when I was thinking that, you know, wasn't maybe going to make it there, but it all works out. So it's pretty cool thing to have happen.
Well, it really is. What kind of personality is he? Does he feel the occasion if you're on a big stage like that? Because the Rolex Arena would be different to anything else that he's been into.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming down those chutes to that kind of crowd, you know, our horses here in the States, especially, you don't get a lot of that to practice with. But if anything, it helps him a little bit. I was worried about my walk in the dressage test when I practiced that a couple of days before. He was a little bit nervous in the practice arenas, and you can see he holds a little bit of tension anyway, and he doesn't have that much movement in his trot, his canter. I knew I had to ride a very accurate test. I went over that a lot with David because I needed to get every point I could in accuracy. But I think actually, if anything, I think he enjoyed the crowds. I think it kind of helped him. He definitely didn't, you know, it didn't reverse anything for me. I was happy that I was able to kind of get him to walk most of the tests. And he, I think, you know, the cross country, I didn't know what he would do. You know, he's never jumped around a course with that kind of crowd, but it didn't seem to faze him at all. And I think once you get kind of settled into the course and you, you're having a feel for that, you know, he's the type of horse that, that longer course would suit him. Sometimes I feel like at the horse trials, and even the CIC events, I don't even get going with him because he's so much blood and he loves to run and jump. So I think the end of that course, I was kind of chasing the clock because I knew that it was going quite well, and I figured, why not? You know, he was jumping so brilliantly, and all the combinations were working out. So that end of that course, Eric made a bit of a way that you could kind of catch up a bit on the clock. So and he loved it. I mean, every time someone cheered, we were off and running again. So it was fun. It was really cool.
How did the atmosphere in the arena affect you as a first-time Rolex competitor?
Yeah, I definitely went into the zone. I had to block all of that out, even in the warm up. You know, I just really stayed focused. I only looked at David and Will in my warm ups for any, you know, advice, obviously. And you know, David has his famous hand signals, and so yeah, no, I was sure to make sure that I didn't take a look around. I know I took a look around at the end of my test when I was walking out on a long rein, and just to make sure that I had that memory, and then I took a look around again at the end of show jumping. But I definitely stayed in the zone. You know, you kind of have to just be in your own world when you're doing something like that, and that's just what I tried to do.
Any butterflies?
Yeah, there were some nerves. I think, you know, you kind of have to learn a bit about yourself, not only your horse, when you're doing this level for the first time. And I watched all morning for the cross country. I sat in the tent with Will, and we watched everything. And luckily, the morning went quite well. So I think that was actually a nice factor for me, you know, because I knew it was doable, and it maybe gave me a little bit of more confidence that, you know, the course was riding well. So that I think helped me. I don't know what I would say if it hadn't gone well all morning. But yeah, I definitely butterflies. Yeah, you try to contain them and then use them to your advantage, I guess. So I'm a competitor and I like to do well. So I hopefully, if anything, that will be an advantage in my future.
And when you first saw that cross-country course, what were your impressions? How did you think you would ride, given the preparation you'd had? And knowing the horse as well as you do, that's an advantage, of course, but it's still the first Rolex. It's still your first All-Star.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have no reason to doubt the horse. He's had one bad cross-country round, and that was me, in his whole career. So I knew that he's an excellent jumping horse, and he's quick on his feet. And I think that it definitely, I mean, there was sizable jumps. You know, I would not say it looked small by any means. And, you know, Will and I discussed it even before we went, you know, because he knows the track quite well. And, you know, he's like, Megan, you've done everything out there. It's just doing it over and over and over again for 11 and a half minutes. And, you know, that's what Eric's good at. He sets up a big jump that's gallopy, you know, like the Oxer or the Ditch and Wall, and then you have to turn to a combination and really know the difference in the balance of the gallop or the canter, you know, the change that you have to make from jumping a style of jump like that and then, you know, coming back to a very technical question that the horse has to have a lot of time to study and read so they understand it. But, you know, I mean, obviously those galloping jumps are bigger than I've ever jumped by, you know, so much. And then the technicality is a little bit stronger. But the horse is done, you know, he had a very good preparation at Fair Hill in the fall in the three-star. And he's done multiple CIC three-stars now. So I knew all of that was doable. It was just, I think, you know, it's kind of up to you and your mental game, you know, out there. And then recovering if something didn't quite go as planned, you know, and being able to react in the moment. So I knew that was kind of on my plate at that point. But as long as, you know, he was feeling up for it, I had no reason to doubt him and his abilities. So I think that was my gut, you know, when I went out there. So
you finished the cross country must have been with a huge sort of sigh of relief and satisfaction.
Absolutely.
You know, at that point, what were your immediate reactions when the adrenaline started to level out?
Yeah, it was awesome, and I had a huge crowd. My whole family was there at the end of the finish, so that was really cool. And Will gave me a big hug, and I was so happy with the horse, and you know he pulled up with gas left in the tank, which is a good feeling. And then, you know, I think I was extremely relieved, you know, to have that first one done. And then my competitive edge kicked in about 10 minutes later, and I'm like, all right, what could I have done better? You know, I immediately went to David and we chatted for a second and, you know, just kind of talked about, I maybe was a little bit easy at the beginning of the course, where then I ended up having to chase the clock a little at the end, where that horse, you know, he could have easily made the time, and had I just been maybe a little more aggressive. But I, you know, it's my first Kentucky. I couldn't have asked for anything, you know, better to have happened. So, but I think, you know, you're just competitive, and that's kind of your nature to, you know, think about what I could have done better, and, you know, some of the combinations I added here and there. So I think, you know, knowing that and watching my videos, and I hopefully will be a little better next time and trust the horse a little bit more, that he'll read the lines and pick up on those answers. So,
well,
I was on cloud nine.
I think everybody was impressed. You climbed from 25th after dressage to 14th after cross country, wasn't it? And then up to finish in 12th place. I won't remind you about the little time penalties you picked up along the way, because I'm sure you don't want to remember those. You don't want to be reminded
of
your first Rolex. Well, just one round down, because if you'd have finished on your dressage score, you know, you would really have been nipping at the heels of some of the best riders in the world. How did that feel to be rubbing shoulders with them?
It was awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and to be kind of the highest place first timer there was a really cool experience. The press grabbed me, and I rode on the golf cart with William Fox Pitt, you know, back to the press, and we talked about his broken finger. But yeah, so it was unbelievable. I mean, to kind of be up, you know, kind of in the, I sat in the press and watched them have their interview, and it was awesome, absolutely fantastic, you know. So it was a good feeling to step down and then kind of go up and watch the last, you know, the top, whatever it was, 13 jump. So that was really cool. It was awesome.
Well, now you've had a sample of the big time. What's on your list to do now?
Yeah, I have to make my fall plan for the horse. He's come off of the weekend really well. He's enjoying vacation right now and enjoying a little bit of downtime. So, I have to get together with Will. Will's over at Badminton watching that, which will be a very exciting competition. And I'm anxiously awaiting at my computer screen to watch them ride around. But, so I'll get together with him and hopefully we'll make kind of a fall plan for the horse. And we'll go from there as far as that goes. I don't exactly know what we'll do yet. So I have a couple things running through my head that I would maybe like to do, but we'll see if we can make them happen. But, you know, I'm so happy he's healthy and ready to go again at something. And that's kind of my main goal in his career would be to keep him that way. He's only 11, so I feel like I have quite a bit of years to gain experience on him, and I would say that I couldn't ask for a better experience horse in my life, so I feel pretty fortunate for that.
Now, who else are you riding at the moment then, Megan?
Yeah, I have, I just have a couple young off-the-track thoroughbreds that I will sell on and hopefully kind of develop a little bit of money to look into investing in something that could, you know, actually be a prospect for the future. And then I was introduced to Mark Hart through Joni and David, and so I'm kind of looking into doing, maybe putting together a syndicate of some sort to maybe even possibly include Pirate, a bit like Kristen did, which will be big news. I haven't really talked about it yet with a lot of people, so it's going to be out there, though. So hopefully that will help me, you know, in the future. I know David would like to see me on some other horses, too, so. We'll see. Hopefully it'll all start to work out that way for me. So.
Well, certainly you obviously have the right background for the job, and certainly a great start at your full star level. Well, congratulations and good luck for the future.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks for all the support out there from everyone. It was awesome.
You can follow Megan on Twitter at @MM_O'Donoghue. I'm Chris Stafford, and I'll be back with more exclusive interviews for the USEA's official podcast. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.